It's time for JT the Brick.
The main reason why I have the back of the Raider Nation, the main reason why I do this for a living, because of the global disrespect this franchise gets from people who are wrong more than they're right on the radio. The lazy national narrative is the Raiders don't have a quarterback. I mean, really? Yeah, well, the Raiders are one of the worst teams in football. I said, worst teams? They won 8 games.
JT the Brick.
That's why I love you in the Raider Nation. You don't like anything. You're hardcore Raider Nation. You don't like anything until it's proven to you. There are Raider fans in Vegas. There are Raider fans globally. There are season ticket holders, okay? There's a whole bunch of different Raider fans, but we're all one nation. One nation, the Raider Nation. And we're all on the same page. We want to win. That is another unbelievable article on anti-Raider propaganda. The roster's better than last year.
And now,
Big Boy Radio.
Here's JT the Brick.
Yeah, we're out of the gate, JT, today with Bobby, the dog days of summer. Welcome to the official beginning of the Dead Zone in sports radio. Bobby and I check it off every year. The end of the Stanley Cup and NBA Finals and the breath, the break we take before NFL training camps. Fortunately, you have a radio host with 27 years of experience of getting you through the Dead Zone, where a lot of people take vacation, they bail out, they do Mount Rushmore's, poll questions, ballpark food, favorite sports movies of all time. None of that here. I'll throw you in a little Mount Rushmore on Willie Mays when he passes away, or Connor McDavid if he would have won the Cup last night, which he didn't do. But we're going to try to every day grind out and do the heavy lifting for you to give you 2 hours of sports talk based on sports. And Bobby's impressed with that. We're one of the last shows left in all the sports radio that talks sports. We're one of the only ones left that decides every day that you might be in the car for 11 minutes, 4 minutes, 13 minutes, an hour, and you want to hear some sports. You want to know what's happening in sports. Or you'd be listening on the FM dial to Howard Stern or the rock jock Steph McKenzie, or you'd be listening to something else. You listen to sports to get a little bit of sports, don't you? And that's what I do here. And on days like today, I wouldn't say it's difficult. I wouldn't say it's difficult, but I wouldn't say it's easy as we get to this month. In hindsight, Bobby, I would have booked an Alaskan cruise. I would have went to Europe, but I got a kid who's still going to college his senior year. I got to spend an enormous amount of money to get him to the finish line. And we got 17 going on 18 partners that expect me to be on the show for revenue and advertising as we promote their companies, which I love it. And we're getting ready to go to Costa Mesa, which it sounds like I'm going to be there for, if not all of it, for most of it, which I'm excited about to get out of the heat of Vegas and see how the Raiders do here in training camp. The monologue is brought to you by Golden Entertainment. They got a lot going on now. You know, we talk about PTs all the time and what they're able to do, but also PTs has an incredible opportunity for UFC 303 and their watch parties. I say this plural because with close to 70 taverns here in Southern Nevada and what they're able to do, Saturday, June 29th at 7 p.m., catch all of the UFC fight action while enjoying some of the favorite fight specials that they have there. They got specials on everything from cold beer to cocktail to Howler Head for only $10. And then, come on, everybody, you can load up on the food like the 10-inch Supreme or Gilroy Pizza, or dip away with the variety of fried baskets starting at $7. PTs, how about this? On all their PTs around, this watch party is going to be really big. So I want you to be a part of that. UFC 303, that is June 29th, Saturday, on pay-per-view. And I think you'll have a great time, and you can check it all out. And if you go to PTs on social media, all of their social media, they have this promotion up and running, and I'm going to be talking about it a lot the rest of the week. So I love everything that they're having here. Select PTs, taverns, locations. Enjoy the fights with all their specials that they have. All right, so as I drove in today, I called the Raider fan and said, what do you want to talk about today? And he told me for 10 minutes, I actually sat in the car, had the AC on because it's brutally hot out. And he said, you know, here's the deal. And it was really a good topic, so I'm going to use it here as we open up the show. What are the Raiders concerned about in installing this offense? We know the defense is better than the Raider offense, but it really shouldn't be. The Raiders have an established offensive line. You might not love it, but Colt Miller, Dylan Parham, Andre James, we got Big Jackson now. We got some big dudes. And look, right tackle, I think we know what's going to happen with Thayer Mumford. I think he's going to win the position, but he's going to have some competition. But that's a good offensive line. That's a good offensive line. Is it elite, like the great wall that the Dallas Cowboys had behind Troy Aikman in front of them? No. But it's a good offensive line. They want to establish the run with Zamir White and Alexander Mattison and Dylan Lobby, who a lot of people think is going to be a scat back guy who can do a lot of different things. We know for a fact the Raiders have the greatest tight end to ever play in college. That's a fact. That's not an opinion. Brock Bowers is the greatest tight end of all time coming out of college, including John Mackey, Mike Ditka, Travis Kelce, Kellen Winslow Sr., all of them. Dave Casper at Notre Dame, Todd Christensen, he's the best. Got to use him. And then Michael Mayer, Big Mike's pretty good. You got an elite Hall of Famer who's playing through his Hall of Fame years in Devontae Adams, who needs the ball. You got Jacoby Myers, who on some people's list, and Sam Munson's going to join us next hour from Pro Football Focus. Really excited about this interview. Jacoby Myers is very good. Then you got Trey Tucker on the outside. I'm not saying he's Cliff Branch, but the guy can run. And the guy could bring a safety over the top. And then, again, with this two tight end set and who they decide to be the fourth wide receiver, Raiders are pretty good on offense. So why would they struggle against this Raider defense in practice? Well, Mad Max Crosby and Christian Wilkins to start. Those guys are train wreckers. I mean, those are the guys who can stand in front of train trains like Superman and knock them off the rail. So we're going to see the struggle of the Raider offense. So I was talking to my friend outside in the parking lot. I go, well, what are you most concerned about? And he said, there's going to be bad days. There's going to be days where the offense isn't going to be productive at camp and in practice because the defense is going to wreck it. I said, well, that shouldn't happen. Devontae shouldn't be getting wrecked. And we decided on the biggest problem potentially is getting the ball out. It's just getting the ball out. The offensive line is good. The Raider defensive line is better. We all agree on that, right? But the Raider tight ends, I believe, are better or just as good as the Raider linebacker. Linebackers, with all due respect to Spillane, Divine Diablo's good. He's not great. Divine Diablo's not on anybody's list yet for the Pro Bowl. Hopefully he does. Masterson's not an elite linebacker. These tight ends should be able to get off their blocks and get open 6 yards over the middle of the field. Devontae's going to catch everything you throw at him. Trey Tucker is going to beat maybe the safeties in a practice, but we decided with our conversation before the show that the problem is the ball getting out. Will the ball get out? One Mississippi, two Mississippi, out. I go, you're right, you're on to something. That's really what this whole season's about. The play calling should be good. Luke Getsy's no joke. I mean, he didn't have an elite. I mean, Justin Fields was kind of a problem in Chicago, more of a runner than a thrower. They had DJ Moore. They didn't have Devontae Adams. They don't have 12 personnel like the Raiders have. So the issue becomes, how is the ball going to come out? And who is going to get the ball out quicker? So it's either going to be Aiden O'Connell getting the ball out, one Mississippi, two Mississippi, it's out. Or Aiden O'Connell waiting as the pocket is holding up but might be about to break down and getting the ball out deep. And then the ability for the offensive line to open up holes for the running game, which I don't think is going to be much of a problem. I really don't see that. I think the Raiders, when they put their starting five out there, I think the Raiders are going to be able to get the push off the line of scrimmage. They're going to be able to push and get a running back going behind him. I think that's something I'm assuming. If I'm wrong, you know where to find me. But the question is, how much time is Gardner Minshew or Aiden O'Connell and Gardner Minshew going to need to get the ball out? And I have no bleeping idea. I'm sorry, I failed you. I have no idea. Because I know against Max Crosby and Christian Wilkins, they're not going to play all out. Right? They're going to be in shorts. They're going to be in walkthroughs. Mad Max is going to be screaming and yelling at the offensive line, I'm coming, I'm coming. Christian Wilkins is going to do that, and I think the advantage goes to the Raider defense. So how much practice can these guys get in without getting hit? Quarterbacks aren't going to get hit in training camp. They could get hit in the preseason game, but not in training camp. And how much work do they have to get in quickly as they're on vacation to get this ball out? And I don't know. I think that this is going to be a team that is going to flourish in the short passing game. I do not like the short passing game going on year 27 here being with the team. I don't like it, other than a window of time we had with the great Rich Gannon. Gannon was outstanding in the short passing game because Gannon had the ability to pump fake as good as anybody I saw. Gannon would move his hips and his shoulders and pump left to Tim Brown, rotate his hips quickly, and get the ball out the other way in single coverage with a cornerback and a safety that were looking at the guy that Gannon pump faked, and someone would be wide open. Go back and look at the film. Go see it. Gannon was elite at that. He became an MVP of the NFL. That's hard to do. I don't think Gardner Minshew and Aiden O'Connell are elite at their pump fake. I'd give Gardner Minshew the edge over Aiden O'Connell. I would. I give Gardner Minshew's more twitchy than Aiden O'Connell. But the last thing I want to do is sit here behind the microphone on the flagship and say I embrace the short passing game. I do. Now I do. Now I got something to hang my hat on. I embrace the Tom Brady short passing game of the 2024 Oakland Raiders. Las Vegas Raiders. I want the ball out. I want the ball out quickly. I want slants. We forgot to throw slants to Hunter Renfro last year. How did we forget to throw slants to Hunter Renfro last year? How did we not throw three-yard slants to Hunter Renfro? Oh, he was in the doghouse. JT, what do you know that I don't know? Well, we'll get to that. Someday it'll come out. Hunter Renfro, really good player. We bailed on Hunter Renfro. Can't throw him a slant? We brought someone in much, much better than Hunter Renfro at a level that you can't even compare to Hunter Renfro, who's a hell of a player, and that'd be Brock Bowers. Brock Bowers is much better than Hunter Renfro in the short passing game, believe me. And Hunter was very good. Hunter was very good in the short passing game. Get the ball out to Hunter, little juke, little head fake, get down, and Hunter Renfro got you 9 yards. Brock Bowers gets you 30. Brock Bowers is a missile. He's a heat-seeking missile going out of linebacker or safety. So I like the short passing game. I like Devontae in the short passing game. You know, slants. Boom. Ball comes out. Boom. You hit the slant in between a corner and a linebacker. Devontae hits the seam. 13-yard gain. I'm good with that. Huddle up quickly. Huddle up quickly. We're not here to take huddles. We're not huddling anymore. We're not taking all this time. Let's go. Let's pick up the pace. We are Las Vegas Raiders season ticket holders. And in the last regime, we took too much time in between plays for no apparent reason. We're not going to do that anymore. We're going to play faster. Faster. Let's go. Let's score some points. Let's not wait. And I like the short passing game. So get the ball out quicker. Now you got to make sure that the defensive line, Big John Jenkins, puts his paw up, knocks the ball down. Right? Also, you can get guys who can jump the route. They see, oh, Aiden's looking at Devontae. I'm a linebacker. I'm going to jump the route in that little area, and it's going to hit me in the chest. I'm going to go pick six. Got to be careful with it. But you're running 12 personnel with two tight ends. You got Zeus, who looks like a linebacker, playing running back. You got some pretty good offensive linemen. I think they're good. I really do. Andre James is a good player. Dylan Parham's a good player. Colt Miller, this has got to be his Pro Bowl year. And I think the right side with Dylan Parham being there, you know, Jackson on the left side, whatever you want to do, I think the four starters and or five, Thayer Mumford, can move the pile forward in the running game. They got to be elite in pass protection or better. They're not going to be elite. Excuse me. They got to be better in pass protection. Colt Miller has the ability and has been elite when it comes to pass protection. So now I'm doing a deep dive during the dead zone when most podcasters won't do this. I'll do it on my YouTube feed now. We're talking about how to get the ball out quickly. So do you agree with me that this should be? Because if you talk to Raider fans over the decade and the great Al Davis attacking the aerial game, I love the aerial game more than the running game. I love the deep passing game more than the short passing game. Historically, now I don't. Now I'm a fan of the short passing game, the consistent, we're grooming a second-year quarterback in Aiden O'Connell. We're grooming him. He's not there yet. Short passing game's a strength. And Gardner Minshew, I think, is better than Aiden O'Connell at reading a defense just because of his experience, and he could get the ball out quickly. When you get into the red zone, it becomes the short passing game, everyone. When you get inside the 20-yard line, you know, the farthest you can throw the ball is 30 yards to the back of the end zone. And I think that's going to be a strength of the Raiders. But I'm talking when the Raiders have the ball at their own 20, their own 28, their own 30. I believe that this offense is going to be more on the conservative side of 12 personnel running the ball, throwing to two tight ends, and trying to open up the deep passing game by running the ball and completing short passes first. Do you agree with me or not? 702-365-9200. Not a bad topic, right, Bobby? How's the ball going to come out? And maybe some Raider fans are going to call me and say that Aiden's got all the time in the world this year. And I'll push back and go, no, he doesn't. Against two. I just talked to Gooch, one of our great rock jocks who does sports. Here's another topic today. Week four, we play Cleveland. Ooh, it might be the JT the Brick circle game of the year. Every year I circle one game. I circle a game and say, that's the game. That's the game that we got to get it done. And this year, Cleveland is week four. It's also when the Biletnikoffs are having their crab feed, which is a great party. Get your tickets at the Biletnikoffs. Go to Biletnikoff.org and get your tickets. We'll all be there. The Raiders open up against both Harbaugh brothers, come home to Carolina, and then play Cleveland in week four. So I was talking to Gooch about how many fans are coming from Cleveland. He just smiled. He said, all of them. They're all coming. All right, I figured that. They're all going to come here. Dog pound. You know, wear their dog pound face masks. They're going to do all that. Good people. Good fans. Real good fans. But they're coming. That's a make or break game. And I was telling him that the defense of Cleveland, the number one defense, is better than the Raiders. But the Raiders' defense is pretty good. Raiders' defense is no joke. I mean, this could be a top 10 to 7, 6 defense. So if Cleveland's going to be in the top 5, if the Raiders are in the top 7, I could live with that. But I went pound for pound, player for player. Cleveland's offense, and Joko compared to the tight ends that we have here, their receivers, and it came down to who's going to run the ball for Cleveland. We're not exactly sure. And then the quarterback play, Deshaun Watson versus the Raiders quarterback. Now, Deshaun Watson's been a head case since his masseuse problems and his transgressions. Everybody's waiting on him to be great because he got $230 million guaranteed. He's not great. Raiders can have a good game against him. You know, Raiders are playing Russell Wilson this year. He's in Pittsburgh. Raiders have beaten him, right? He's never beat the Raiders in Vegas when it comes to this new stadium. So the Raiders are going to have to go out there and really get the ball out on offense. So my question today as I open up the show is obviously going to be, what do you believe is going to be the strength of the offense in the preseason? What do you want to see in the preseason? You got to work with me, everybody. What's it, June 25th today? Got to work with me, man. I don't got anybody in town. There's no Raiders in town, man. It's a ghost town. Got to work with me today. What do you think is the best way to get this ball out quickly? Do you want to see slants? Do you want to see reverses at the line of scrimmage? Dare I say, do you want to see the dink and dunk? The dink and dunk? Bobby's raising his hand. The dink and dunk? Or do you just want to run the hell out of the ball? But the ball's got to come out quickly. 702-365-9200 as we open up the show. J.J. Redick, do we have the F-bombs? We have it. All right, so last night I'm down at Wynn Vegas and the J.J. Redick press conference breaks, and as we talked, he's dropping F-bombs. He's basically, he's the face of the Lakers, the head coach. And here's J.J. Redick yesterday at the press conference in Los Angeles.
I want to coach the Lakers. I want to coach the team. I don't want to dispel anything. I don't. I want to become a great coach in the NBA, and I want to win championships, and I want my players to maximize their careers. That's all I care about.
That's all I bleep and care about. And, you know, dropping the F-bombs, I have two radio shows. One, I'm allowed to use a little bit of foul language. I use zero on both because it's going to get me in trouble. Knock wood. I just don't use profanity with an open microphone. You'll be all right. Don't talk in front of an open microphone if you can't. Just don't. It's just radio 101. So once you start, so J.J. Redick comes to his first press conference and he's dropping F-bombs. All right. Young people think that's cool. My sons are 23 and 21. They're Laker fans. They're cool with that. They got no problem with that. Other people were losing their minds last night about this because you don't want to start off. You don't want to start off that way. You just don't. It doesn't make any sense to do that. So what do you think of J.J. Redick's introductory press conference? More from him yesterday as the head coach of the Lakers.
What misconceptions or concerns about you that you've heard in the last few weeks are you the most like looking forward to dispelling?
It's a valid question, and I've certainly heard everything. You know, it's been a really interesting 6 weeks or so, just in terms of you know, being part of the engagement farming industry. You know, it's been really interesting. However, I don't really have a great answer for your question, because I really don't give a like, honestly. I want to coach the Lakers. I want to coach the team. I don't want to dispel anything. I don't. I want to become a great coach in the NBA, and I want to win championships, and I want my players to maximize their careers. That's all I care about.
All right, so that's the money shot. That's the big soundbite. The two F-bombs. I don't bleeping give a bleep. All right. I wouldn't do that in my introductory press conference. I wouldn't. I don't think Antonio Pierce did that. And I don't think people do that, but he did that. So we'll see. If you're a Laker fan, I mean, what the hell are we doing with a radio show in Vegas if we don't have Laker fans calling in? I mean, isn't Vegas Lakerland? Isn't this Lakerland? I'm hosting a midday show in the heart of Lakerland, and the Lakers have a new coach. Let's wake everybody up here, Bobby. This is a Laker topic in Vegas. Got a lot of Laker fans driving around today in the heat.
Yeah, but you
got
to remember, the Lakers dumped out in the first round. Those Laker flags have been all put away now. They're Lakers fans. They got nothing to say these
days.
You're
right about that. Laker flags are big when they're winning, man. They got big flags. And final call for the Stanley Cup, as I thought Edmonton could have had the comeback of the ages. Florida Panthers got it right. They needed to get home in front of their fans to secure the cup.
10 seconds left. 2-1 Panthers. A dream 30 years in the making is a reality. Oh! The Florida Panthers have won the Stanley Cup.
Lord Stanley is coming home. You always will have a place in South Florida. Oh, my God.
The Panthers have won the Stanley Cup for the first time in franchise history.
Yeah!
Start the celebration, South Florida. The Panthers have done it.
Stanley Cup champions!
I would fire that guy instantly. Don't know who he is. Probably a former hockey player. I'd take him out of the booth, fire him. Say, you just ruined a legacy call that could have been here for 100 years. You sound like an idiot. You made it about you. You should shut your mouth and let the crowd noise be heard in the background and let your play-by-play voice close it out, because he's the play-by-play voice and you're the idiot screaming and making it all about you. Panthers radio on the call. I didn't hear that. I did not hear that. Thank you for playing that here. I did not know. And we in Vegas are no longer the Stanley Cup reigning champs. Okay. It's over. We had it for a year. Be proud of it. It was great. It was unbelievable for the Vegas Golden Knights to be Stanley Cup champs. But that has come to an end, and it was a hell of a ride, man. Hell of a ride. Appreciate all that. So that's the monologue brought to you by the DeCastaverde Law Group. These are two attorneys, Alex and Orlando DeCastaverde, who are not telling everybody anything. They're just saying the brothers have your back. So you got two brothers who are highly connected, great lawyers with an unbelievable law group, with the legacy of their father, who are out there trying to help you if you get into an accident and you get injured. 702-222-9999. It's like a dream I'm living. I'm living in a dream. I get up. Yeah, me. I get up. My wife says, get out of the house. You're pacing. Go do your radio show. Leave. I dive in the pool, I come here, I do a 26-minute monologue, and I wait for people to react. It's like a dream. Every day, I go to bed at night, I say, I'm going to do the same thing. I'm going to walk the dog before it gets hot, going to come in, have a little coffee, going to dive in the pool, come to work, and see if I can get engagement from the great energy I bring every day. I don't have one of these shows where I bring people in off the street. Hey, your turn. Come on in. Let's talk to you today. It's me and Bobby. We're talking Raiders football. And I gave you, I think, a good topic. How are you going to get the ball out? I'm saying check down to Brock. That's me. Dink and dunk to Brock. Get him the ball. Get him the ball. Oh, you better. This guy better touch the ball. Remember last year, you know, for all you people that want me to get fired and walk in and curse at the head coach, you want me to do that. There's some psychos out there that literally want me to go into a sit-down television interview with the head coach and fall on the sword. and say, you're a blank. Couldn't do that with the former coach. He was actually pretty good to me. We had really good football conversations, but I was upset that they didn't get Michael Mayer the ball. We will not have that problem with Brock Bowers. I interviewed his mom and his dad on stage the other day. They're great people. He's here. We got a gift from God. You know, Sean McVay wanted him, wanted to trade up. Everyone wanted Brock Bowers. We got him. Fell to the Raiders. Let's use him productively in his rookie season. His rookie year, not his third season. He can be a Pro Bowler in his first year if used correctly. 702-365-9200. John Ireland, the voice of the Lakers. Excited for that. Sam Munson, top of the hour, Pro Football Focus. And Jeff Sherman over at the Westgate will join us in about 15 minutes. We'll discuss with him what's happening with the future odds of the NFL, WNBA with Caitlin Clark, hockey odds for next year. What was the liability on the Panthers? That's coming up on the flagship of the Silver and Black.
Yeah, the expectations is what I talked about. Get to know one another. It's about people first. We're in the people stage because we don't have pads on. We're out there playing 7-on-7. The standard never changes. It's to come in this building every day with a smile, with a purpose, to be the best version of yourself, and to build a team. Because we're going to do that in training camp. When we get the pads on even more and more, we get to know about each other physicality-wise. But I think we've done a good job of really taking the time and getting to know each other in this building. And I'm not talking about just the first floor. I'm talking about the second floor, the third floor. We've done a lot of things with team bonding. The guys have done a great job of doing things outside the building with one another. And then when we got on the grass, we've competed and done a good job of taking care of one another.
Antonio Pierce, I think they have that all figured out. I think the chemistry is really good. JT, back with you. Thanks for listening as we welcome in Raising Cane's Chicken Fingers. One love. Buttery Texas toast and the real iced tea that the actual rapper iced tea drinks. Nice new promotion that they have going. Raising Cane's Chicken Fingers, one love. Everybody in my YouTube chat love my shirt that I'm wearing. I wear Raider fan club shirts from time to time. This is the Atlanta Raider fan club established in 2001. The Atlanta fan club's coming out here because we play Atlanta this year in our only home primetime game. What a scam that was. You have no history with Atlanta. None. Literally none. Out of all 32 teams, I say we have the least amount of history with Atlanta. And they gave us them for Monday Night Football. Nice. Nice move there. And appreciate everybody who's chiming in here. Raider fans aren't on vacation in my YouTube. Raider fans who are taking a trip and getting ready, enjoy what is a slight, slow time off season, but we're really busy here. Because Bobby and I are putting together the top 10 Raider games of all time, which we're debuting here pretty shortly. I'll get into it next hour. Chandler Jones pleaded no contest. Looks like he's going to avoid some jail time. Good for Chandler. I hope his mental health is in a good place. He's been through a lot. He's made a lot of personal mistakes. He's had a lot of issues that he's been fighting through, and I hope he's in a better place. No doubt about it. Tennessee won the College World Series. I bring that up because that's a huge storyline. We got UNLV baseball here in town. Bryce Harper played here. Chris Bryant grew up here. This is a good baseball town, and that was a nice story as Tennessee becomes the first one seed to win their conference tournament, their conference year. They won the SEC. Then they win the College World Series as a one seed, and they had to come back to do it.
Breaking ball swung on and missed. He is out. And for the first time in school history, the baseball national title has a home sweet home on Rocky Top.
That's nice on Tennessee Rocky Top Radio there. That is a nice storyline. I don't understand why college baseball doesn't work better. It seems to be very regional. You know, we have sports in this country that are very regional. None bigger than college football. College football is regionally in the South. Right, the SEC, the same thing with baseball. If you go to Vanderbilt, Tennessee, Georgia, LSU, those schools just predominantly have better baseball players and better football programs in the South, in the Southeast, in the SEC. And most kids play baseball, but they don't seem to follow college baseball as closely as they watch Major League Baseball, which is really interesting to me. One other storyline that broke today that I wanted to talk about that I saw from Mike Florio, as this is interesting, the Sunday Ticket trial rebuttal case, the plaintiffs are trying to minimize practical impact of this NFL loss. Now, you might say, why am I bringing this up? Well, I switched to YouTube TV, and I have the NFL package. As part of its effort to defend against the narrow claims of the Sunday Ticket trial, the NFL painted with a very broad brush regarding the potential ramifications of teams having to sell their own TV rights. So this is written by Mike Florio, who's an attorney, and has a big effect on Vegas, because Vegas isn't a big TV market, but we got a big brand and a big team here. Florio writes, in a nutshell, the league's lawyers have suggested, via the evidence they presented, that a loss in this case would create a massive disparity in team revenues, implode the salary cap, destroy competitive balance, and eventually threaten the league's existence. When the NFL rested its case, the plaintiff called the rebuttal witness with the goal of making it clear that losing this specific case won't bring down the big shield, which is the NFL. They brought in a Harvard professor who testified that there's no link between the NFL's effort to protect CBS and Fox from overcharging for Sunday Ticket and competitive balance. So listen to the numbers here. Teams get roughly $62.5 million each annually from Sunday Ticket. And that's, in the absence of that, and the influx of cash wouldn't impact the salary cap or operating budgets of the team. Now, you might say $62 million isn't a lot in a multi-billion dollar league. It is when it comes to operating a football team. So Sunday Ticket is on the verge of being in huge trouble. The league would still get its money from Sunday Ticket. The NFL might get even more if the partner that buys the rights can sell the package for whatever it wants to charge. I am a big believer. I go to games, right? I'm at the game on Sunday. I don't sit at home and watch TV. But when the Raiders are on the road, I watch TV. We are getting to a point now, everybody, with my analysis, that we're getting closer and closer to an all-time pay-per-view. Now, the Super Bowl won't be a pay-per-view because the Super Bowl actually wants all these people watching because they know they're going to watch it, and the ad revenue was so high, they don't have to throw it on pay-per-view because they'll lose part of the audience. This NFL Sunday Ticket is a big story that's brewing underneath here, and a lot of people are very concerned about how they're going to watch football going forward. My options are, one, go to the game if you can afford it. Number two, buy the package for your home consumption. Number three is going to a sports bar or a casino where it's for free. But when you go to a casino or a sports bar, you're supposed to spend some money. You have lunch, you buy a couple of beers. So you might be in a sports bar and actually spend $30 to watch a game, and that's $30 a game. It's kind of pay-per-view. You're in a sports bar. I don't know many people who sit in a sports bar in the corner and a server comes up to them and says, no, I'm good. What do you mean you're good? You can't sit in our sports bar and what, have water? Well, you kind of can. Or maybe buy a Coke. But once you buy nachos for $10, you just paid $13 to watch the game. The NFL is exhausting every resource to get more and more money out of you. Okay, working for the Raiders, understand it's a business. Understand what a beer costs. Understand what a hot dog costs. Understand what parking costs. But the NFL now is finally starting to get some pushback from their fans on what they won't pay for. And while they will walk away from this Sunday Ticket in droves with one more price hike. I never thought I'd do it. I dropped DirecTV to go to YouTube TV. It's life-changing. Takes a half a second more to turn the channel. Takes a little bit more when you're streaming to turn the channel. You know, like go from one to another. A little bit easier on DirecTV, but my cable bill has come back to reality. I care about what I spend on air conditioning, on cable, on gasoline, or whatever it is. But the issue now with the NFL, Mike Florio wrote a really good piece. The Sunday Ticket trial rebuttal case, the plaintiffs tried to minimize the impact of this NFL loss. The NFL, I believe, is finally starting to realize that the consumer only has so much money to buy Peacock, to buy Sunday Ticket, to go to games and support what is their favorite sport. I want to tie that into Vegas quickly. You know, we had Johnny Katz on last week, our entertainment reporter. Vegas is starting to hemorrhage now with the cost. I mean, the Eagles are charging $800 to go see him at the Sphere. The Eagles? Are you kidding me? $800 to go see the Eagles? $18 to get a Fiji water in your hotel room? $24 now for a cocktail. Gets to the point where people go, no, not anymore. We're not there yet. We're getting there. And the NFL is pushing, pushing, pushing. They think you have unlimited wealth to stream and buy their products. And we're finally starting to see these cases now and a little bit of pushback. 702-365-9200. Going to talk to Jeff Sherman about the AFC West odds. You know, this is a sticking point for me. Pretty upset that the Chargers have better odds than the Raiders to win the AFC West. We'll ask him specifically about this matter. The hockey odds and how much was made on the Panthers and the future odds of the Lakers now with J.J. Redick as the head coach.
Oh, I think they embrace the competition. It's great. I mean, the best part about it, it's a friendly competition. And when I say friendly, we shake hands and kiss baby. When we go out there, we're trying to both be the guy. And you love to see that. And our team sees that. And I said this probably early on in offseason. When you have competition, some people see competition at the quarterback position as like, oh, my God, we're scared. No, I love it. Because the rest of our team are looking at them. So what does everybody else on our team have to do? They have to compete. And what we now have is competition throughout our entire roster. There's competition in the running back room. That defensive line room, there's some boys in there. There's some grown men in there that can play football. Not going to be able to keep all of them. Our linebacker room, our DBs. I mean, there's some guys here that's really seeing the competition at quarterback has risen the level of competition overall on our team.
Yeah, competition is going to be key going forward. JT back with you as we continue on. Brought to you by the M Resort Spa and Casino, the official hotel of the Silver and Black. Now we go to the Westgate, where I hang out a lot because Jeff Sherman, Jay Cornegay do the best job, the sharpest lines in all of Vegas is at the Westgate. He's the VP of Risk Management. So, Jeff, let's begin with the liability of the Panthers winning. I mean, a lot of early action on the Panthers before the season started because they lost to Vegas in the Stanley Cup the year before, or did they come out of nowhere?
We saw steady action throughout the whole season on them. Nothing overwhelming. We were a good position on either team, but we were in better shape on Florida. And if you look game by game through this series, once Florida got up 3-0, we saw a lot of Edmonton support the rest of the way. Mm-hmm. So the book ultimately needed Florida in the end.
So the amount of action that came in on Edmonton was they were making this look to be a heroic comeback was significant?
It was, and you know, we dealt a 10-cent line on the game, so we saw a ton of action, but it was weighted towards the Edmonton support.
After this for Edmonton, I would assume, I saw you posted 2024-2025 Stanley Cup odds already. Vegas is right there with Edmonton, Colorado. You got a bunch of teams at 10-1, huh?
Yeah, we couldn't make any team in single digits. That's how wide open the hockey is. So we put all the usual suspects, Florida, Dallas, Colorado, Edmonton, the Knights, and Carolina, all at 10-1 and went up from there.
All right, let's move to also your expertise at golf here. Rocket Mortgage Classic coming up here. Tom Kim played really well. Before I get to this tournament, what do you think of the ending and what happened with Scheffler and Kim last week in Connecticut, especially with the protesters on 18, a big break before they went back and played the extra hole?
Yeah, that was interesting. A little hiccup there, but Tom Kim made a huge putt to send it to a playoff, but then in the playoff had a tough approach in the green that set him up where Scheffler ultimately ended up winning. Another win for Scheffler like we haven't seen that before, but Tom Kim ends up being the favorite 12-1 this week in Detroit at the Rocket Mortgage, and we'll see if he can sustain that momentum.
Yeah, what's up with the rest of the field? I don't see Rory and Scheffler and those who sit out here. I know you got a 72 winning score, the number at 263.5.
Yeah, well, the problem is they played last week in Hartford, a signature event, and you play that with all the large names and it right after a major, so these guys are going to need some time off, and it seems to be this week in Detroit. So you got Tom Kim, Cameron Young, Akshay Bhatia, who did well last week, but yeah. all the big players are gearing up for the Open Championship next month, and gearing towards a Scottish Open more so than Detroit this week.
All right, WNBA Championship, you updated that with the Las Vegas Aces 7-5 here, the New York Liberty right behind them. I think they're the best two teams out there, even though everybody's paying attention to the Indiana Fever. They're 150-1.
Yeah, and, you know, Las Vegas and New York were tied at one point, but then Chelsea Gray returned two games ago, and you can start to see what they were the last couple of years off of that. So Vegas is the favorite at 7-5, New York right behind them. Minnesota, Connecticut, and Seattle are right there. Those are really the five teams that are vying for the title. Indiana's improving lately, but they're still sitting in triple digits.
It looks like on the NBA side, it's the Celtics and everybody else here. As you set the lines going into 24-25 here, man, there's a lot of teams that are way out there, plus 3,000, plus 4,000. I wanted to know where the Laker line is with the hiring of J.J. Redick, which I don't think moves the needle much.
It didn't move the needle. We had them at 25 as an opener. They're still sitting at 25. And what would actually move the needle is if they traded their three tradable first-round draft picks and maybe some young players if D'Angelo Russell opts in and they can move him. But the movement on the player side is what ultimately will move their odds.
More of a handle on Europa or Copa when it comes to global soccer?
Much more on Europa.
Yes.
Even though Copa is in our backyard here and there's going to be some matches at Allegiant Stadium, it's much more on the EuroLeague, Euro 2024.
Yankees are in a bit of a swoon. Anything major change in baseball with the Dodgers or the elite team in the National League? Yankees look to be until the last three series when they lost all three of those series.
Well, the Dodgers are holding steady at +325 to win the World Series, followed by the Yankees and the Phillies, each at 11-2. But the surprise that's jumped up this year is the Kansas City Royals. After opening 100-1, they're down to 40-1.
100-1 to 40-1. Hey, Jeff, I'm comfortable doing this because we're friends, and we're friends with Dave Koken, and he put out a big deal about his current situation he's in health wise, and he's an icon in the building where I'm sitting today. At Lotus Broadcasting, I just wanted to put out positive vibes about Dave Koken and get a comment from you on how important he is to the gaming community.
Yeah, he's a giant in our industry, but he's even a better person. Mm-hmm. I've been communicating with him, going over golf picks back and forth for years since I've been on his radio show. And it's a tough one to swallow. You know, he's a really good person, and just brings a lot of life into our industry. So it's tough.
Thanks for sharing that, Jeff. Talk to you soon. Appreciate you.
Thanks, JT.
Jeff Sherman. So I wanted to be comfortable with this, or I was a little bit concerned about it, but I ran it by Bobby. Dave Koken is one of the best guys I know, one of the best guys I've known on radio. I started my career with him at Sports Fan Radio Network. When I started off, he was the co-host of the Pete Rose Show. He was one of the icon hosts that we had at the time, and I would put him in the category for me as a mentor, as I was able to watch him host radio shows and how calm he was and cool and gifted he was with gaming knowledge here in Las Vegas. So he is battling, and he's battling hard right now, and he put it out on his social media on Facebook, and I reached out to him, and a lot of people are reaching out to him. So these are for the listeners, and Dave Koken, Smoking Dave Koken, is a gaming legend, but he's more important to us. He's part of our Lotus family, and he did shows here for years, and I'd walk by him in the hallway and always talk to him. He'd come on the show. I'd go on with him a little bit. And, you know, we had a couple of meals together over the years. But, Bobby, I know you're very close with him, too. And really have a heavy heart today when I saw the announcement from Dave Koken.
Yeah, that sucked. That was a really lousy way to start off the day. Yeah, Dave Koken, to me, is, first of all, the guy that I used to do a lot of remotes with him. So he and I would sit out in, like, car parking lots, and God only knows where the hell we'd be, just talking about stuff and whatnot. Because he didn't even remember me from Sports Fan, you know. But when we came over here, he finally said, oh, yeah, you're that kid with the hair. Yeah, yeah. One thing about Koken, he gave me three hints, basically, of how to bet baseball. I'll pass these on to you.
Okay.
Number one, never bet more than plus 150 or minus 150.
Okay.
Number two, never bet against the streak. Ooh. Number three, never bet against the top 20 pitchers in the league. Those are three things he gave me, and I've used them ever since.
Yeah, he's a brilliant handicapper, a very good all-time legendary sports talk host, and he's battling a physical battle here, and we wish him nothing but the best. Godspeed. as he put it out there, if you want to go read what he put out today, it was with a heavy heart that I'm reading that today. You can go see him on social media. If you're from out of market and you don't know who Dave Koken is, you should, because he's a Las Vegas handicapper, longtime radio and TV and print betting analyst, and a good friend of all of us here. So we're all praying for Dave, and I hope I get a chance to see him, because reading his post today was very concerning to me, and I wish him nothing but prayers going through in this fight. 1 hour down, one more to go. We got a big hour coming up. John Ireland, the voice of the Lakers, on the hiring of J.J. Redick. Sam Munson's going to join us next. And Sam is a really good, I think, elite insider from Pro Football Focus. I'm going to dive into him with him on the Raiders. Normally I do national. We talk about all the NFL teams. And I really want to get to the bottom of what's going on with the Raiders here, with the odds, the roster. This is a sharp guy who knows the Raiders roster. I want to see what he thinks about it coming up next. So stick around for that. Everybody else on our YouTube feed, I'm signing off. We'll see you next time. Go to YouTube, JT the Brick, YT. And we appreciate that very much. And that's about it. We got another big hour coming up here. Two really good guests, and we'll continue on here. And there's a lot more I want to get to from yesterday, especially with the Oilers. Oilers had a chance to make history forever. That would have been some pretty important history, that Florida took it from them. And they took the Stanley Cup to the Elbow Room, one of the great bars in America, in Fort Lauderdale. They were drinking out of the cup all night, and then they took the Stanley Cup into the Atlantic Ocean and dumped it in the water today. So the Panthers are drunk like they should be celebrating the Stanley Cup. Kind of familiar the way we did it in Vegas last year.